You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 10th day of September 2020, we're going to be taking a look at the firepower of the 2020 Atlanta Braves, the two-time defending National League East champion Atlanta Braves, the team that is probably going to win another division title and is very, very hard to figure out how they're going to do this October. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com and is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to stay home during these trying and weird times, and here in Pasadena, California, it smells like a barbecue outside, please stay home and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Collin and Locked On Atlanta Braves with Dylan Short. I wanted to get Dylan on today, but we couldn't work out our schedule. He's going to be on next week, and maybe, Dylan, you can listen to this episode. You can tell me if I'm full of it. A couple of people have pointed out that I've been focusing too much on certain teams and not enough on another teams. Yeah, you're probably right, and I've probably been neglecting talking about the Braves, who are a interesting team. I had been talking the last couple of days about the caravan of mediocrity, about the teams like the Mariners, like the Orioles, like the Tigers, who are making a run at a playoff spot. Well, here's the deal. When you start pulling from mediocrity, well, they're not always going to win, are they? Mediocre doesn't always succeed. That's why they're mediocre. In fact, all those teams that I mentioned are actually not mediocre. They're all bad. They all have losing records. It's just that I saw the Yankees and the Astros were in absolute free fall, allowing these sub 500 teams to start to catch up. And so when you're sitting there thinking like, hey man, what if the Mariners and the Tigers and the Orioles could catch up? Well, let's perk up and see what happened. Hey, the Tigers lost 19-0. That's not good. Oh boy, the Mariners probably did well. Oh no, they lost 10-1. Oh dear. What about the Orioles? At least the Orioles made it close. It was 7-6, Mets. But yeah, there's a reason why these teams have losing records. They're not very good. And in a way, this is part of the problem of expanding the playoffs from your pal Sully's humble opinion. One of the things that makes baseball unique, I think, is the fact that the regular season does matter. You have to be a good team. Even when they expand the playoffs to include a wild card game, so there are five in each league, you still have to be a good team. You know, you could still be a 90-some-odd win team, like Cleveland was last year, and miss the playoffs altogether. Of course, in the past, when it was just one team from the American League and one team from the National League, you could easily have a 100-win team miss the playoffs. When it was just the AL West, NL West, NL... You understand, when it was just the two divisions in each league, you could have a situation like the 103-win San Francisco Giants sitting on the outside looking in. It may not be fair, but it made the regular season really interesting. The very good teams had to play hard and knuckle down. When you expand the playoffs so that there are 16 teams altogether, this allows us to take a look at the Mariners, Orioles, and Tigers as potential contenders. And you might say, hey, that's good for the game, right? That you have these cities that normally would be twiddling their thumbs saying, well, this was a waste of time, actually interested. And yes, Yes, but the trade-off is the value of the regular season goes down, I think. I think the trade-off is the value of a fan base that's rooting for a good team and hoping that good team plays super hard means the quality of the baseball that you're following in the regular season goes down exponentially. If you're a good quality team, like the Atlanta Braves, and you know you're getting into the postseason, you can basically fly on autopilot for the rest of the year. That was the thing that I did like about the wild card game, that it put a premium on winning the division. So when you had a year like 2015, where the three best teams in baseball were all in the same division, it put a little bit of urgency to win the damn division. Now, there was that whole situation in 2015 had a different sort of flaw, which was it forced two of the best teams in baseball to have one of them eliminated at the wild card game and another one eliminated in the division series, I think cheapened the playoffs. Is there a perfect way to do this? Probably, but we haven't figured it out yet. Now, I really, really hope that the extended playoffs are for this year only. Kind of like how the 1981 divisional series that they had was for that year only because of the strike. This is not something that I think can work over 162 games, or at least before they get the kinks out. So yeah, when you want mediocre teams to do well, guess what? They'll bite you on the butt and have a day to show you this is why they're mediocre. You know, the Mariners had a nice run with it, put together a whole bunch of wins. And then they ran into the Giants, who are not exactly world beaters themselves, but just got trounced. And the same thing happens with the, you know, you sit back with the, can the Orioles beat the Mets? Well, the Mets are also a mediocre team, and sometimes mediocrity faces off against mediocrity, and you have a 7-6 game. Or you have the Tigers, who are pretty much a bad team, facing a Brewers team that has been a disappointment, and sometimes disappointment is better than bad. At least it was last night with the 19-0 final. So my dreams of having this great, ratatouille of teams mixing it up with the Astros and the Yankees, well, it's still potentially on the table, mainly because the Orioles and Yankees are facing off. And the Astros did lose again. The Astros are a 500 team right now. But you know what? It's tough to bank on mediocrity because they're mediocre. Hey, let's talk a little bit about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, and you can use that money for important things like mortgage or food or Built Bars. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or a new car dealership? You know what you should do? You should use rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for the last 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. That's rockauto.com. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I mentioned those blowouts involving the Mariners and the Tigers, but no game had wilder scoring last night than the Marlins versus the Braves game. And in a way, it becomes a little bit of a microcosm of the Atlanta Braves season and their October hopes. The Braves pitching, starting pitching yesterday, was atrocious. They let up 9 runs to the Marlins. And they could not get into the starting pitching that they got, as per usual with the Braves, was completely ineffective. Tommy Malone only lasted 3 1/3 innings. He let up 8 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 2 home runs. Just got absolutely trounced, and the bullpen had to pitch 5 2/3 of this game. An absolutely horrific excuse. Anytime you let up 9 runs as a pitching staff, that's letting up a run an inning. That's a disaster. That's a disaster. So that's why I'm including that game among the blowouts from yesterday. But here's the issue. The Braves blew the Marlins out. The Braves pitching staff let up 9 runs, and the Braves blew that team out. Because what was the final score? The score was 29-9. That's right. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Miami Dolphins 29-9. Oh, wait. It wasn't the Falcons versus the Dolphins? No, it was the Braves and the Marlins. Now, I remember there was a game back in, I believe it was 2007, where the Texas Rangers scored 30 runs off of the Baltimore Orioles. That's the only time I ever remembered a team putting a 30 spot on a team. And the funny thing about that game back in 2007 was that was game one of a doubleheader. Okay? Game one of a doubleheader, they let up 30 runs. Guess what? There's another game to play. Well, this was not a doubleheader played yesterday, but 29 runs. Technically, it was a come-from-behind victory because the Marlins took a 2-0 lead, and then Atlanta scored 11 in the second, 2 in the third, 3 in the fourth, 6 in the fifth, 3 in the sixth, and 4 in the seventh. Hey, good work, Marlins bullpen, keeping the Braves from scoring in the first and the eighth. Otherwise, that really would have been humiliating. Adam Duvall hit 3 home runs, count them 3, he drove in 9. Adam Duvall drove in as many runs as the Marlins drove in, and the Marlins drove in a lot. You look it down, Darnell homered, Duvall hit his 3 home runs. Who else homered in that game? Freddie Freeman homered, Acuna homered. Acuna got on base 6 times, scoring 4. Driving in 5, and there's no way he was the player of the game. Freddie Freeman went 3 for 6 with 6 runs batted in. No way he was the player of the game. The player of the game was obviously Duvall. You hit 3 home runs, you're the player of the game. That's how it works out. So you take a look at this Atlanta Braves team. They're in first place. They're in first place by a couple of games over a very weird Philadelphia team. The one thing this team can do, especially if they get Ozzy Albies back pretty soon, is they can hit, and they can hit with anybody. Darno is hitting this year. Freeman is having a tremendous season. When Swanson's healthy, he can hit. Duvall, I don't know if you noticed last night, he has some pop. Ronald Acuna Jr. has an OPS over 1,000. Ozuna has an OPS over 1,000. You know, everyone, I mean, the one player who isn't hitting the cover off the ball appears to be Inciarte, but he's still a talented player. They still have Markakis. You know, he's getting some at-bats on the team. Their firepower is unbelievable. They can score their share of runs. And they've got a very good bullpen. This is kind of the anti-Bobby Cox Braves, who always had the unbelievably strong rotation and had bullpen issues. Mark Melanson's having a fine season. Shane Green is having a terrific season. And then you have A.J. Minter's doing a good job. And you had Bryce Wilson pitch the last 4 1/3 innings in yesterday's game to get the, was it a save or a win? I don't remember. I don't care. Darren O'Day, Grant Dayton, Josh Tomlin, who is actually, I guess, moving into the rotation. They are all pitching very well. The Braves' bullpen is deep. I just rattled, 6-7 names of pitchers who are pitching effectively? And then you take a look at the other end. Max Fried, who is having a Cy Young caliber season for the Braves, is on the IL. And when you're on the IL and there's only a couple weeks left to play, that means you're probably not going to play for the rest of the year. So Max Fried, who was their ace, who's having a tremendous season, is probably lost for the year. They lost Mike Soroka for the year. Cole Hamels has pitched as many games for the Braves as I have. He hasn't even gotten into a game yet. And, of course, you had, you know, the likes of Fulton Nawitz was a disaster. Sean Newcomb and Tuki Toussaint are no longer there. I mean, Shashin was gone. I mean, it was Sabaka is gone. And Sabaka and Soroka, by the way, interesting fact, they're not the same person. So you have the Kyle Wrights and the Ian Andersons of the world and the Robbie Erlins of the world in their starting rotation. You remove Max Fried from this rotation. This rotation is complete and utter garbage. And yet, they have incredible bats and this amazingly deep bullpen. What should the Braves do? Because the Braves are going to make it to the postseason. Even if Philadelphia passes them, they are going to be in the postseason. I don't think Philadelphia is going to pass them, but as I just said, their rotation stinks. And if the 2011 Red Sox taught us anything, and it taught me a few things, that is, the fastest way to lose a lot of games is to have a disastrous starting rotation. As it is right now, the Braves would be the number two seed in the National League, followed only by the Dodgers. The Cubs are half a game behind the Braves and may pass the Braves before all is said and done. The Braves are tied in the loss column with Philadelphia and ahead by four in the win column. The Phillies have to play a little bit of catch-up. So, as it stands, the Braves would play the Giants in a first-round postseason series. I'm going to make a suggestion to the Braves, at least in that first round. Have them be bullpen games. Seriously, take three relievers and say, you three are going to get us through the ninth, and then we hand it to Melanson. You say, okay, we got to have Green, A.J. Minter, and let's take one other one, Luke Jackson. Boom. You three are going to each give us two or three innings, and then we're going to hand the ball to Melanson at the end. Now, I think I would rather, if I were a Braves fan, I would feel more confident about that than to say, hey, Kyle Wright, give us two and a third innings and get bombed. The point I'm going to make is they're probably going to have to play bullpen games anyway because their rotation stinks and they're going to have to bring in a reliever in the third. So if you're going to do that, why not start a reliever who may hand the ball to the next reliever in the third inning with a score 2-1 as opposed to 8-2. Now, I'm going to talk a little Braves next week, throw that plan out there. Obviously, if Max Fried was healthy, this would not be an issue. We'd be talking about handing it to Max then and then crossing your fingers and holding your breath. And maybe Max Fried will be back in time. If you're a Braves fan, you better hope he is. But that being said, in a short playoff series, we have to win 2 out of 3 to advance to the next round. Why not just hand the ball to the pitcher who is going to pitch, I don't know, decently, instead of the pitcher who's going to get torched? That's my humble opinion from the outside looking in. Well, from the outside looking in, or from the inside looking out right now, I'm staying indoors because the air is pretty smoky down here in Southern California. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and check us out on all the podcasters which you use. This has been Locked On MLB for the 10th day of September 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.